Okay, today's daf is Nedarim, daf Nun Dalit, as we start the seventh perek of Maseches Nedarim, the seventh out of 11, the sixth, seventh, and eighth perekim are all related issues of language. Keep in mind also that Be'ez Hashem, hopefully Mashiach will come by then, but if not, on Tisha B'Av morning, there'll be a live webcast on the OU.org, as all could are welcome to join with Rabbi Weil regarding mourning, growing, and learning with the learning the keynotes together. He'll be going through Jewish history on a live broadcast on Tisha B'Av morning on OU.org. Everyone is welcome to join that mechanism of studying and learning the keynotes and absorbing the message of all of the keynotes. Okay, so now we are on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, new perek. We finished up Anodim and Amavushal, and now we have Anodim and Ayarek, continuing the topic of what does certain language mean in terms of Hilchos Nedarim. So now we have Anodim and Ayarek. Somebody makes a neder from Yerek, from vegetables. Mutter bin Deluin. He is mutter to have Deluin, gourds. Why? Isn't Deluin a type of vegetable? So the Ron has two days here. As we'll see, let's read it first now. The Ron says, Delo have a Yerek el a pri. Number one, that is according to the Rabbanon, according to the Tanakhama, that is not a Yerek, that is a pri. What do you mean a pri? A pri is compared to a Yerek. There are different types of vegetables, as we know, as the other Rishonim expand. There are vegetables that you eat the whole vegetable, and there are vegetables that we might call the leafy vegetables, like lettuce, and the like. So that's what the Ron seems to be pointing at, that Deluin is a different category of, in those, again, in English, we call it all vegetables, but Yerek in Hebrew did not mean Deluin, and that's why it's a different category. It is a pre and not a Yerek. And the Istam of Farshi, and then the Ron says, a second day, Yerek means something that you could eat raw. Nechal kamo shehu chai. You can eat vegetable, you pick a vegetable, you can eat a carrot, you can eat lettuce, you can eat a tomato, you can eat a pepper. Deluin ain't on Canaan. Deluin you cannot. Maybe this means like a zucchini, right? Some type of gourd that generally are not eaten raw, and that's why it is not included in Yerek. So we'll get back to that. Let's now first return to the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Oser, Rabbi Akiva Asas, Rabbi Akiva says, Deluin are included in the word Yerek. Amrulo, the Rabbi Akiva, and they say to Rabbi Akiva, no, it's not included. Why? V'halo omer adam l'shlucho kach liyerek. What happens if somebody tells their shliach to go to the market to buy them a vegetable, buy them a yerek? The shliach comes back, v'hu omer lo matzasi ela deluin. He comes back and says, sorry, I didn't find yerek, I only found deluin. Is that okay? Should I buy that? So you see, say the Rabbanan, the fact that he didn't buy it automatically, and he has to come back and confer with the Mishaleach, shows that Deluin are not included in Yerek. Armalahem, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's exactly my point. Kena Davar, I agree with you. But I get something else out of the story. Oshema Omer Hu, Lo Matzasi, or Shema Omer Hu Lo, Lo Matzasi El Kitnis. Well, did he come back and say, sorry, I didn't find Yerek, but I only found beans. I only found kidneys. Well, he doesn't do that. You're right. He goes back and says, I only found this. Because that's shayach to the original item. Elisha Dluin, Bechal Yerek, who kidneys, ain't no Bechal Yerek. It doesn't say, oh, I didn't find vegetables. I found some chairs. No, of course not. Because that's not shayach. That's not even close to the category. The fact that he goes back and says, I only found this, means it isn't the category. And that's so it's machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. If a shliach comes back and says, I only found this, does that mean that it's in the category or that it's not in the category? It's on the border. The question is, where do we put it? So machlokas tanoim. V'asur finishes off the Mishnah. But if you use the language of Yarek, v'asur bapul amitzri lach, umutur b'yavesh, your asur in the lach is the moist, the fresh Egyptian bean, umutur b'yavesh, but mutur in the dried out one. Okay, that is the Mishnah. Going back to the Ron for a moment, and that is, so we have this machlokas here, where the Ron says, two deos for the Rabbanan, either it's a different category, because people don't call it that, or ne'echal kamo shehu chai. As we know, that principle is important in other areas of halacha as well, on a daraisa level and a darabanan level. Something being chai is important for Hilchos Shabbos. As we know, what is the line of Bishul? When do we say that somebody has violated the Issa D'Oraisa of being Mevashel. What if I put something on the fire and 5 minutes later I take it off and it's still a raw piece of meat? Am I chayav Isha Bishul? The answer is no. So what is the line for Bishul? It's raw. But then I have to make it not raw for it to be considered Mevushel, for it to be considered at least a little Mevushel to be chayav for Hilcha Shabbos. And that is called Machal Ben Jusai. The machal, the level of eating that a bandit used to eat it, it went from totally raw to being semi-edible. Machlokas Rambam and Rashi, whether that is a third or a half cooked, one of those two, that's the line. And there's also a machlokas, how do you figure out a third cook or a half cook? Do you consider it by the chefza? The chefza, is it, you can taste it. The Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Shabbos, no, it goes by time. Meaning if it takes 2 hours to cook, then a third of that time or a half of that time. Even though more cooking might happen in the second half or the last third, because sometimes when something is raw, it doesn't cook so much in the beginning, and then it picks up steam. But that is the law of Machal Ben Jusai. So once something goes from raw to Machal Ben Jusai, so we know that in Hilchos Shabbos, one is Chayim D'Oraisa Mishum Bishul. There is another machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. What about after that? What if something is already Machal Ben Jusai? It's already edible, and I want to make it fully cooked. So is that Chayiv D'Oraisa on Shabbos? So that is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rashba says no. The Rashba says once it's Machal Ben Jusai, that's it. Anything afterwards might be Durabanan, might be Mechzi, but it is not D'Oraisa. The Rambam's Lashon clearly gives off the impression that up until Mevushal called Tzarcho is Bishul D'Oraisa, and therefore won't it be Chayiv a carbon for that, etc. After Mevushal called Tzarcho, as I leave it overnight, let's say challah is fully ready and it can be eaten before Shabbos, but I leave it open, I leave it overnight to make it mitztamek v'yafelo, even better, as it sits overnight, even though it's already mevushal called tzarcho. So that's d'rabbanan. That's not d'oraisa, even according to the Rambam. So that is one machlokas, one issue where ne'achal kamoshu chai comes up. That's the starting point, and then after that, one can make it mevushal and chayav d'oraisa for Shabbos. That's on a d'oraisa level. On a d'rabbanan level, we also have that concept, and that is in the sugya of Bishul Akum. The sugya is in Maseches Avodah Zarah, quoted in Yaradeya. We know that for Bishul Akum, one has to have three requirements, and one needs all three for Bishul Akum to be Aser. The Mishnah tells us in Avodah Zarah that Chazal, for various reasons, Asered a number of items. They Asered the baked goods of a guy, that's Pas Akum. They Asered the milk of a guy, meaning a milk that a Jew does not see the milking process, that's Chalav Akum. They Asered Yayin Akum. They even Asered Shemin for a little bit, and then they matered it, but also they Asered Bishul Akum. If a non-Jew cooks something for a Jew, so that is Aser, Durabanan, even if I know all of the ingredients are kosher, even if I'm watching them, right? Each one has a different reason. By milk, the issue is that we're worried that a non-Jew is going to mix into the cow's milk types of non-kosher milk. Gvina, by the way, is also in that Mishnah. Gvina is Akum. But that's by milk. The Chshash is Chshash Trefus. When it comes to Bishul, the Chshash is not. The Rishonim say Mishum Chasnus. The issue is intermarriage. And therefore, even if I see the guy, every ingredient, if he cooks for me, it's still going to be Aser. But the Poskim explain, based on the Gemara, that it's only if one has all three requirements. If you're missing any one of them, then it is Mutter. Number one is Ne'echa, eino ne'echal kamo shehu chai, related to us. The item cannot be eaten raw. If the item can be eaten raw, it is not subject to Bishul Akum. If a guy warms up water, right, boils up water for a non-Jew, that is not a problem, because you can drink the water cold. And therefore, if somebody goes to any place that asks for a cup of hot water in a styrofoam cup, so then you go to, what you want hot water to put, make hot chocolate or soup, and the one asks for hot water, and all it is hot water, and there's nothing else coming out of the spout, and it's just a hot water spout, then that's fine. Why? I, Bishul Akum, they're warming it up for me. The answer is no, it doesn't matter, because Ne'achal Kamo Shehu Chai, the water can be drunk raw and cold. Anytime you have that, in terms of baked apple, anything that can be in raw, there's no problem of Bishul of Bishul Akum. And again, this could change based on time, based on society, right? It could be years ago when sushi wasn't as popular, so fish was subject to Bishul Akum, because nobody ate raw fish. Mashiach Bizman Azeh, what is more common, the halacha did not change, but the application of the halacha might change because the food practices and behaviors of people change. So that's Nechal Kamoshu Chai. That's the first of the three requirements. The second of the requirements is the hardest one to pin down. It has to be a chashiv food. All right, let's just say the svara for a minute. Let's go back. Why is there no Bishul Akum of Nechal Kamoshu Chai? Because then you can say the guy didn't really do anything for me. The only issue of chasnus is that if he really did me a favor, and I thank him so much for it, and that'll lead me to get close to him, but if I could have drunk this water, if I could have eaten this item, even without him, then he didn't really do anything for me. I don't consider it as if he did anything, did something chasha for me. So that is number one. The second svara, the second requirement is Ola al shulchan malachim. It has to be something chashuv, a chashuv type of food that they'd serve at a king's table or at a wedding. This is the hardest to pin down because what do we say? If they serve it at a smorgasbord, almost everything they'd serve at a smorgasbord. Almost everything they'd serve, milchiks, fleishiks. So that was the hardest to pin down, to be considered a chashuv food. There are certain items that are clearly not included. The poskim say canned items, v'chulu. Number two. Number three is the non-Jew has to do the entire process. If the Jew takes part in the process of cooking, doesn't mean that the Jew buys the food in the store or the Jew chops it up and grinds it before it goes into the oven. No, it means part of the cooking process. Be it a Jew turning on the fire, that's good enough for Ashkenazim. Be it a Jew stirs the pot before it's fully cooked. Be it what's about, that's also a machlokas, whether machlokas or so, it's too late, right? Be it a Jew stirs it, be it a Jew puts it into the oven in the first place. All of these are examples of a Jew being part of the process, and if a Jew is part of the process at all, then there is no problem of Bishul Akum. Those are the three requirements, obviously a large topic, all the details of those halachas. But that is one example on a Durabana level. So we have one on a Daraisa level, Hilcha Shabbos, and one on a Durabana level in Hilchas Bishul Akum. And now we move on back to the issues of Nedarim. So we have a Machlokas Tanaim here in our Mishnah, whether Diluin are included in Yerek because a Shliach would go back and ask their Mishaleach about it. So says the Gemara, Hanodim in a Yerek, v'chulu, v'ha min Yerek Nadar. But ask the Gemara, but what do you mean? He was Noder from a Yerek. What's the Kasha? Says the Ran, L'Rebbe Akiva Parech. Rebbe Akiva, they're asking Rebbe Akiva, who says that it is included in their Aser. Hei chi Aser b'diluin. T'ha min Yerek Nadar b'diluin. Lav Yerek Ninu. El Apri. L'maisa, says Rebbe Akiva, it doesn't work. You want to say, oh, he'd go back and ask? L'maisa, people don't call it that. People don't call diluin Yerakos. The Bishlama, and now he goes, fine, Pol HaMitzri, the last line of the Mishnah, fine when it comes to the Egyptian beans, Amar Lei Dekivan She'osim Imenu Dagon Kishu Yavesh, since when it is dried out, when it is older, they make wheat, or not wheat, they make grain from the dried out beans, Umikami Hachi Lo. And before that, it's basically not usable. Adi Shaita Yerek Havi Vel Pri. You could say it's still called Yerek and not Pri because it's not usable. Pri means the fruit, right? Pri Kapecha Yigia Kapecha Yisocha. Pri is always the product. So you want to say that by the beans, it's not usable really until after it's processed. So beforehand, it can be called Yerek by the fresh ones because that's Yerek is like the natural state, like we know in Hilchas Brachas. If somebody eats raw wheat, right, somebody takes a bite of a stalk, you'd make a hadama, because that might be kind of the category of yerek. When you grind it into flour, that's a shahakol, and ultimately it becomes a mizonos. So, says the Ran, when you have pol hamitzri, you can say that's yerek because that is not edible, that is not normally consumed until it is processed. El diluin kasha, but diluin, it's not as such a line. V'yava gav de Rabbi Akiva yof taima de mimlach alei shliach lo sakili ahi taima. Kiva de ben yerek nadar. I understand, says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva svara. But still, lemaisa, people don't call this yerek. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, you're right. This is not Liarek, but the person here used a more inclusive lashon. Ba'omer yarke kedera alai. The vegetables or the yarakos of the kedera on me. Since he used an extra lashon, the Ran says miyater lishnei, because he used an extra lashon, so he must be including something. So what would he be including that's not directly always understood from the word yarek? So it must be diluin, which is kind of on the border. Says the Gemara, but 1 minute. Maybe there's something else included that's more mistaver. V'dilma yarek hanecha b'kedera kamar. Maybe it means a yarek that's eaten b'kedera. Yarek b'kedera lai. What does that mean? Any types of vegetables or yarakos that are used for flavoring, used for spices. So maybe that's what's included. Don't jump to diluin. Answer, ba'omer yarek hamisbashel b'kedera alai. And that sounds like not just something that's lahatimis atafshil, but something that's really cooked in the kedera, and that's why we say it includes diluin. But my kamiflagi, what is the root of the machlokes? The Gemara, the Mishnah says it, but we'll repeat it, says the Gemara. Rabban and Savri will generalize it. Rabban and Savri call milsa de tzarech shlicha le'imluchei ala lav minehu. Anytime, anything that the shliach has to go back to ask whether the mishalach would be interested in this also, that means it's not exactly the same type. And therefore, that's why diluin are not included in Yerakos. For Rabbi Akiva Savar, call Milsa de Mimlech Shliachala Minehu. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the fact that you have to go back and ask and you have a question whether it's included means it is in the category, because you wouldn't go ask a totally different item that was not related at all to the Mishaleach's Ratzon. So Rabbi Akiva says it would be included. The Rashba says here, we should note, even though it sounds like that this Mishnah and discussion is limited to Nidarim, you might say that it could apply outside also. The Rashba here quotes the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Rabbanan Amrin, Ein Adluin Bichlal Yerek, Af Lamadata Hadin Kain, Yarka Shogulazu Machur Lecha, Vahayushab Duluin. It also turns out Bekach Umemkar. Somebody sells them Yerakos, and he says, here's the Dluin. Al Daiti Rabbi Akiva Mechurin, Al Daitayu Drabanan Eina Mechurin. Right, this would apply to Bekach Umemkar too. Because you might say, what people say in terms of sales also goes by what people mean. So there is a connection of, you might say, ah, Nidar Bar Lashem B'nei Adam, but by sales, you also might say that's included. I mean, not always. The Prakim in the middle of Maseches Bava Basra talk about this. If I sell a house, what's included? If I sell a this, what's included? So that's not exactly what is meant by Lashem B'nei Adam, but it's definitely connected. And then the Rashba adds, Afbe Hefker Kein. Also, regarding Hefker, if somebody is Mafkir, they're Yerakos. Does that include the Diluin? So again, it's the Rashba generalizes these issues in the Gemara. So again, if somebody goes back and to be Imluche, the question is whether they are reflecting that is included in the item or it is not included in the item. Right over here, the Sharm Sera Balacha discusses the relationship between certain drinks and wine. Let's say, first, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? We know the Sharm Sera Balacha, we always quote his commentary on the Gemara, but first was his commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I think that was first. But either way, whichever one was first, but he writes in Hilchas Bircha Zimun, in Simen Memhei, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that when three people have a zimun, there's a chachila, or 10 people have a zimun, discussion lemaisa, why it is not as common a practice to use a cup of wine when we bench the zimun. Some people use it only for 10, which is not really in the sources. The difference between 10 and 3, that's either if you use it or you don't use it. Says the Kisra Shulchan Aruch, Umitzah sheyivarchu ala kos, v'im efshar tzricha lahader, sheyiyakos yayin, v'im e efshar b'yayin, yiyashechar. Right, if you can't use wine, so use beer. O mate, o yayin, saraf, shu chamar medina, some other type of what's called chamar medina, a beverage of the land that could be substituted for certain mitzvos that usually have wine. Tahainu shein yayin gadol sham kederach yomina ir. It's very extensive. It's not commonly gotten, and they're rugged to drink other drinks instead of wine. So that is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch about what you can use. Can use beer. So the Sharm Sera Balacha discusses, what about What is the relationship then between beer and other drinks related to wine? Somebody tells you, you go to, like in our Mishnah, go buy me some wine. Would you go back and say, well, I only found beer, right? Would that happen? So maybe, would you come back and say, I only found soda? Is that a part of the definition of how we define chamar medina? That is a big discussion in the post game. But what is the definition? So he quotes from the Chuvah's Darkei Shalom that even though the Gemara says in Nedarim on our daf called Misal Bimlech Ali Shliach Minehu, whatever the Shliach would come back and ask, that is the type. That's Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see. That's what we hold. V'achanami im shalchid on Shliach Lavi Sheicher v'lo Matzab. If he said the Shliach to find beer, he'll come back and say, I found some soda. So, doesn't that prove Mina, who according to Rabbi Akiva, says the Chuvah's Darkei Shalom? No, maybe not. Mikol Makob, Hachashayni. Even though the Rashba just generalized it, maybe we can limit it. The Dafka bin Nedarim, the Gamim Nechlal Bil Shono, Rak Altsad Miut, Amrinat Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. By Nedarim, if you had it in mind at all, so then, we assume you're also aser from that item. So that's why it's Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, as we said earlier. Aval Benido Didon, but in our case, Kiva Chein Mavarchim Alamayim, but in our case, there are rules. There are rules. You can't use water for Chamar Medina, that's for sure. So what soda? Hu adin ga may soda. May soda. So does this just mean seltzer? So you might say, if you look at some of the earlier sources from a couple of decades ago, may soda meant what we call seltzer or club soda. Over time, it has come to mean soda, all different types of sodas, even with flavoring. That's what he talks about here, whether you would use the same requirements. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses May soda, and he is not into it being considered Chamar Medina. Rav Moshe's requirement seems to be, would somebody drink it when they're not thirsty? Would somebody drink it when they're not thirsty? That's the question that Rav Moshe has in Arachayim, in the context of many very interesting tshuvas. In Chelek Bey, Simen Ayin Hey, B'minei Mashka Shel Soda V'chadome, Im Yesh Lahavdil Aleim Kedin Chamar Medina. Mine mashka shel soda. So what would we allow on this drink? Would we allow the person to make avdala, to make kiddush, to have to do berachas hamazon? So Rav Moshe does not like it. But there are mashka shel mine soda. If yesh lahem din chamar medina lekadesh b'shachar ulahavdil aleihem. Says Rav Moshe, hanachol ani es daiti. Dehain kamayim ba'alma. Again, this is a machlokas haposkim. Rav Moshe does not like soda. What are the ones that are used by the poskim? Beer is used by the poskid. Schnapps is mentioned by the poskid. Those are chamar medina. Orange juice could be used, pashtus by as chamar medina. But what about soda? Is soda just flavored, bubbled water? Or is it more than that? Ladi yathayadi, Rav Moshe thinks it's water. Tate kamayim ba'alma. Why? Even though they drink them at chashev seudos and at weddings, aval hurak kishtias mayim litzimaon. But I think, says Rav Moshe, people really only drink that when they are thirsty. Right after a dancing at a wedding, you'll go and you get a soda. Get a soda because that quenches the thirst. Ule hiskarer biyamim achamim, it's a cool off on the hot days. Ubisha hacham lohem. Vakavid bahem, hu gamkein, rak shizrichin lazeh. And also, even if you're mechubad with getting a cup of soda, you are thirsty deep down. Vagam mayim sonin in mechadik shizrichin lohem. Even cold water, sometimes they would give you. Vachashibus mashke, but what is chamar medina? Is when you would drink it when you're not thirsty. When you would drink it, stam l'shem the drink. She'ein ashtiyah machla she'tzrichim lam l'tzam'am, ela shosim osam, afalot tzarech l'gufam, ela b'shvil kavana se'uda, v'kavana arachim, where one would drink it for just to be in a state of kavod. She'ein adam shum adam shose yayin, v'yesh v'sheicha l'tzamo. Says in Moshe, nobody has a cup of wine because they're thirsty. Or a cup of beer, or, I'm not a beer drinker, but a cup of beer, or yesh, or schnapps. I'm not a schnapps drinker either. Litzamo. Nobody has that for their thirsty. Dalzeh shosin mayim, sheyoser adifi, elarakul kavod ba'alma shosin oso. You drink this because you go out for a drink, and that's why you have these. Ve'elamino nikra b'shem mashke v'chamar medina. Those are chamar medina. So again, what about mizmanazeh? If you go out for drinks, so you get a cup of coffee, you'd get wine. Would you get a soda? So these people go out and get sodas. I'm not sure if behaviors have changed since Rav Moshe wrote this, or even Bizman Hazeh. You might say, even if you go out, soda at root is more thirst quenching than being mechabed. So that is the discussion of Rav Moshe. But then Rav Moshe says, "Aye, what about tea and coffee?" He says, "The afla matir in lekadesh ulahavdil al te matok." Yes, some people can make Kiddush and Abdallah on tea. Maybe that's also different. You don't drink tea because you're thirsty. Nira, debetei, derechol, lamsha mechabdin, v'shosim zavshik shizik klal. Right? Especially in other parts of the world. In England and other places where tea, going out for tea, having tea time, is more common. So maybe that is chashiv amashke. Vabatir, what about milk? He goes into Vabatir Gamal Chalav, Ulai, also milk is not drunk just for thirst. And he goes through almost everyone, but he is not into soda. Again, does he only mean the non-flavored? What do he mean by regular soda? I'm not 100% clear. Maybe some of the Talmidim of Rav Moshe heard from him what he meant. Avalamine soda, ain't shosim osam el simon, shichadu osam amashke soda, v'ueno tsamei, v'lo yishte, lo yitchashev later osam l'schabed. If somebody offers you a drink of soda and you don't take it, they'll just think you're not thirsty. So that is Rav Moshe, who's makel in the end by tea, by milk, but he is non-makel. Avamina soda gam shasat chak, lo yikadish lo yavdil aleihem. So again, how do we get into that? Because we're talking about whether that's included in the language. When somebody says beer, and they come back, I only have this, so does that have effects for this halacha as well? So let's continue now. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. Abaye adds on one line to this sugya. After we have a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, Abaye adds on one more, and he says, "Mode Rabbi Akiva le'inyan malkus she'eino loke." Rabbi Akiva admits that there is no malkus in this regard. If somebody eats deluin, they're not going to get malkus for violating, because it is included, but maybe it's not vaday included. That's what it sounds like from Rabbi Akiva's statement. It's not vaday included. The problem is, the question is why. So let's wait with that for a minute and look at the psak of the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, as we'll see, like Rabbi Akiva. Right? The Rambam's going to say that later on as well, at the end of the sugya, that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And the Rambam quotes that in Perek Dalet, anything that the shliach usually goes back and asks about, that is included in the type that the shliach was told. Ketzad, it gives examples. Somebody goes and buys basar. I only found fish. We'll get to this better later on. Right, if dogim is included, then it would be usher with that too. If somebody makes no min basar, so then is usher be basar ofos u bikirbayim with rivachagav. It gives examples. Lomaisi passes like Rabbi Akiva. Ask the Radvaz, what happened to? And ask the Kesef Mishnah. This one is in the Kesef Mishnah. What happened to Rabbi Akiva? Vida darina begemara amar abaya mod Rabbi Akiva sheino loke. And the Ran says Kiva did diluin lo mishtami behedya. Since we don't know it explicitly. Afagav de mimla chalei shliach lo misery bevadai elam isveik elgach lo lucky v'yishla tamu al rabbeinu lo mishmitu. No answer given. Why did the Rambam leave out that line of Rabbi Akiva? Suggest some of the Achronim. Look in the Shita Bukubetzas here. The Shita says, what's the reason why one is not chayiv in that case? Because what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva? Abayas Rabbi Akiva? Hasra'as Safik. Hasra'as Safik. The rule of when I give Hasra'a, it has to be clear besides the event not being done, means if a person goes through with this action, they're going to be chayiv. If even if he goes through with the action, I'm still not going to be sure whether he's going to be chayiv or not, that's called Asura Safik, and that is a machlokas, whether you're going to be chayiv or not. So Abai is holding here, Asura Safik is lav shmo Asura, and that is why you are not going to get malchus for it. But suggests the Dvar Yaakov, Rabbi, the Rambam holds, Hasra Safik is Hasra, shmo Hasra. So that's why it doesn't call Rabbi Akiva, because he holds in outside of this sugya, in the general sugya of Hasra Safik, that it would also be included, and that's why he doesn't quote Abaye. Good. Vaita, let's continue. Tanan Hasab says the Mishnah in Meseches Me'ilah, it comes up a number of times, whenever the sugyas of Shlichus come up, you see on the side, Ksubis, Kiddushin, Chagiga, and right here in the Darim. Tanan Hasab, HaShliach Sha'asa Shlichuso. If a Shliach does exactly what he was supposed to do, and what he did with the Shlichus was use a hektish item, the Balabayas gave him something, gave him money to go buy something in the shuk, and without realizing he gave him hektish money, and he does exactly what he's supposed to do, HaShliach Shlichus Shlichuso, Balabayas Ma'al. The Balabayas violates the Isra of Me'ilah of benefiting from the Beis HaMikdash. Why? This is one of the three exceptions the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. For ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Here we say, yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. Three exceptions. Me'ilah, shlichus yad, and tfichu mechira. Those are the three quoted in the Gemara based on psukim. So if a shliach does exactly what he's supposed to do, so the balabayas is ma'al. Lo asa shlichuso, shliach ma'al. But if he did not do his shlichus, if he did something wrong, so the whole shlichus is batel, and me'mela, the mishalach, is out of the picture, shliach ma'al, so the shliach violates. That is the Mishnah in Misaklas Me'ilah. The usual rule is, as of course, as we know, age shliach l'dvar aveira. Three reasons given in the Achronim. Not in the real, now the Gemara doesn't say a reason. The Gemara quotes a svara in what, not all the places where this comes up, but the Gemara quotes sometimes, divrei harav, divrei hatam, divrei mishomin. Well, if your Rebbe tells you something and your student tells you something, who are you supposed to listen to? So that is one. I should say one out of the three svaras given by the Mefarshim, for Eish Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is Divrei Rav and Divrei HaTalmud. Meaning, what does that sound like? That's a reason why the Mishaleach should be Pater. Because the Mishaleach says to the Shliach in usual cases of Aveira, where we say the Shliach gets the Aveira, well, it's not my fault because you shouldn't have listened to me. Divrei Mishomin, who should you have listened to? So the focus of that reason is, well, he shouldn't have listened to me. And maybe I didn't even think that he was going to listen to me. The Mishaleach should be Pater. What's the other svara given? The Shliach should be Chayev. Lamaisa, who did the Aveira? The Shliach did the Aveira. So, Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira. You can't say this is going to go back to the Mishaleach if he didn't do the Aveira. Number two. And then there's a third idea. The Shita Lo Noda Lami in Mesechas Kedushin says this, and the Achronim like this idea, Reb Chayim and others. And that is, when you have a Shlichus, we mentioned this idea a number of times in the past, Shlichus is only regarding something that you are the bailam on. You can only make a shliach on a halachic concept, a halachic maisa that you are the bailam on for buying and selling. Yeah, I'm in control for buying and selling. Kiddushin and Gerushin. I can choose to be Makadish, I can choose to be Megarish. But let's say take an extreme case. Wearing tefillin in the morning. I'm not a bailam on a mitzvah shebegufo. I just have to do it. I'm not a bailam to give that away to somebody. Right, or I'm not a bialim on certain chalitza. You can't do chalitza through a shliach. Right, as the Gemara says, Ksuv is called milsa delesa b'shlichus lesa b'tznai. Anything that you can't make a tznai on, you can't make a shliach on. And Tosfos explains that there in Ksuv is ayin dalid. That what's the reason for both of those? Both of those are applications. That's not the root. Both of those are reflections that you are not the bialim on this halachic action, and therefore you can't make a tznai on it. And you can't make a shliach on it. And that is why they're excluded from shlichus atay. So averus do. You're not a bailam on, and therefore ain't shliach l'dvar avera. Butla toras shlichus ba'avera. That's the language of the Shita Rodo Lami in the second parak of Kiddushin. Butla toras shlichus. Right, we discussed this once earlier. This mesechta already. This concept when we spoke about whether nedarim or nazirus could be done through a shliach. So we said, where does that come up? Meaning, you can't. If I promise to be a nazir, you can't be a nazir for me, right? You can't do it through a shliach. So maybe you should say that you can make a tznai on naziris either. But there are gemaras that you can make a tznai. So Tosfos and Nazir says, well, somebody else can bring your karbanos for you. So that's enough to be considered isa b'shlichus, and therefore isa b'tznai. Okay, a big topic. Anyway, but those are the three ideas of why we usually say ein shliach l'dvar aveira, either because the mishaleach should be pater, or the shliach should be chayiv, or but l'tora shlichus b'divrei aveira. Those are three ideas, and there are many nafkaminas to those to those three. But let's continue a little more, and then we'll talk about the exception. Right here, we're talking about an exception to Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira, a place where we say, Yesh Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira, by Me'ila. So says the Gemara, Mantana, who is the author of this Mishnah? Man, we're going to try to line up that Mishnah with our Mishnah. Amar Rav Chisda Masisa Delok Rabbi Akiva. That Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva. Why? Ditznan. Because the Mishnah there gives an example. Me'ila Davchach. Ditznan. Ketzad. What's an example of a shliach following what he was supposed to do? Tein Kaved V'nasan Lahem Basar HaShliach Ma. I'm sorry. I skipped a line. Amar Lo Tein Basar La'archim. If the Mishaleach says, here, give some meat to my guests. V'nasan Lahem Kaved. And he gave them liver. Tein Kaved V'nasan Lahem Basar. He says, give them liver and he gave them meat. Hashliach mo'al, that's considered not listening to the Mishaleach, that's considered Mishanami das balabayas. And therefore, that's a case where the Shliach would violate, and not the Mishaleach. But second, the Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, called Milsa de Mimlach Ale Shliach, Mineu. Anytime the Mishaleach would go back and say, well, they didn't have this, can I give them this? That's considered the same category. Limo balabayas, v'lolamo Shliach. In this case, that should be not being Mishana. Why? Because if somebody goes and sends a shliach to buy meat, the shliach would come back and say, I couldn't find meat, I only found liver. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's in the same category, and therefore here too, the mishaleach should be the one that violates, and not the shliach, right? It should not be considered a shinui. So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, Amar Abaya, afilu tamei Rabbi Akiva. No, it could be that even Rabbi Akiva could fit into that Mishnah. Meaning you don't have to say there's a machlokas here. Milo moder Rabbi Akiva, detzarech im luchei. Remember, Rabbi Akiva says it's considered the same category because you would come back and ask. And that's why for Hilchos Nedarim it would be included. But over there, the Balabayas told you to give them meat. And without asking, you went and gave them liver. Even Rabbi Akiva would say it's included in the larger category, but you have to go back and ask. Right, you can't just do it without. It's still considered a shinui midas Balabayas. Right? That's the actually one answer. Right, that's the answer given, so Abaya could fit in to this, Abaye says Rabbi Akiva could fit into our Mishnah as well. There's no machlokas. Itbar Shmaitza Kameh Rava. And this statement of Abaya to fit in Rabbi Akiva to our Mishnah was said in front of Rava. Amar Lahon Shapir Amar Nachmeni. So he says, that's a great statement that Nachmeni said. Shapir Amar Nachmeni. So who was Nachmeni? So we know Nachmeni was Abaya. Machlokas Rishonim. What was his real name and what was his nickname? So Machlokas Rishonim. If you look at the Ron here, the Ron says, Shaper, like the fourth skinny line, Shaper Amar Nachmeni, Hainu Abaya. Vikari Lehachi, they called him this. The Ron is clear, his real name was Abaya. Vikari Lehachi, and they called him Nachmeni, Lefishin is Ga, or it's actually, I shouldn't say that, it's not 100% clear what the Ron is referring to. Vikari Lehachi, they called him this. What's the this? Lefishin is Gadu Babaya's Rabbi Nachmeni. So how might you understand that? So you might understand that though some do not, as the Aruch. The Aruch is clear. The Aruch writes that his real name was Nachmeni, and he called him Abaya because his childhood friend was Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, and Rabbi Bar Nachmeni did not want to have a good friend of his with his father's name. Imagine calling your friend by his name, and that's your father's name. See, your father's going to turn around when you call him by his name. It's not appropriate. So that's why he gave him the nickname Abaya, and that's what the Aruch says. So you might be able to fit that into the words of the Rad too. Nachmeni was Abaya. He called him that because he was Nizgadel in the house of Rabbi Nachmeni. So you might say it's what the Aruch means. You also might say that no, his name was Abaya. He called him Nachmeni because he wanted to give him coven. Because he grew up in the house of Rabbi Nachmeni. So that was kind of his last name. Bar Nachmeni. He grew up in his house. It was as if he was Megadel him. Right? Abaya was an orphan. And therefore, that's why he gave him the name Nachmeni as a connection to the family of Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. Is one allowed to have a friend over with their father's name? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses this. And he says, as long as it's not somewhat a very unusual name, it's Moshe, David, Shlomo, any of those names are fine. Because they're so common that calling your friend by that name is not a zilzal in your father's coven. But if it's a very unusual name, right, that's not so common, right, I'm not even going to mention any, because I'm sure there are people out there listening that have that name. But if somebody has a very uncommon name, so then that might be a zilzal, and therefore maybe one should not call their friends by his name in the presence of one's of one's father. But if you look at you take the Ron Kipshuto, the second way we understood it, that they called him Nachmeni because he was this gadol in the house, but his real name was Abaya. Again, why was the Aruch says his nickname was Abaya, and what does Abaya mean? So either it means Av Hashem, his father is Hashem because he was an orphan, or they suggest Abaya stands for the pasuk in Trei Asar, Asher Bacha Yerucham Yatom. In you, Hashem, Yisomim find compassion. Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. That is related to the nickname Abaya. But if the nickname is Nachmeni, that you could call him Nachmeni, this relates to the issue of, are you allowed to call someone who was Nisgadel in a house, let's say somebody's adopted, are you allowed to call him Ben, that person, in all areas of halacha? All right, obviously the most common one that comes up is by getting an aliyah. By getting an aliyah, if somebody's an orphan, they're raised, they're adopted, are you allowed to call them by their adopted fathers? That is a big discussion in the poskim. Some poskim are vehemently against. They said it's going to lead to issues with Yichus, and they're not going to know, unless you call them Ben Avraham, then that might tip them off. But there are a number of poskim that are charif, this is in Simon Kuflam Ates, that one should not call them by the Megadel's, by the Megadel's name. La'olam, I'm reading from the Piskei Tshuvos. La'olam lo yikru b'shem Aviv Megadlo. Right, you shouldn't. Right, that is what a number of poskim say, the Minchas Yitzchak, and the Kinyan Torah, and the Mishnah Halachis, and others. That's what the numbers say. But the Yesh Kosvim, as the Piskei Tshuvos always does, the Yesh Kosvim, she'im ein yodim shem Aviv Amiti. If it is not known, oshu misbayish b'kach, or right, it's embarrassing. Maybe not everybody knows about this. There's some sarach you don't want to make it before some. So there are the Tshuva Slave Aryeh. Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes based on a pasuk in the end of Bamidbar and Pinchas v'shem bas asher sarach. Right, that it wasn't really his son, but it was his wife's son. Shem bas asher sarach. So you see, you could call it by that's a raya that the Chasam Sofer brings also in a tshuva. So there are a number of poskim many have the, right, one can be mako, especially if nobody knows about it, to call him by the father's name, by the ma'amets, the megadol's name, maybe write on a card or something to make sure that in private the rabbi or somebody knows that this is not the real father, if the child doesn't know either, especially. But that is one area of halacha in terms of getting an aliyah. That's probably the most common. What about writing a ksuba? The Shevet Alevi is mekel regarding writing a ksuba in terms of writing the megadel. The question in these contexts is always, if we do something by a ksuba, would we also come to do that by a get? The get, the stakes are higher in terms of breaking the hafkasa, zika, of ashes ish. So that's always an issue. But if you look in the Shevet Alevi, in this regard, he is mako by in Chela Galasim and Kufay Yadalid. At the end, he quotes these poskim that are more machmir. Listen to the shiloh that he has. He had Maaseh. There was a Jewish woman who was ne'enas in Chutz La'aretz. Nachri she'anas bas Yisrael pnuya b'chutz La'aretz. Rachmana l'tzlan. V'yolda imenu ben. And she had a child. V'shuv nisa l'bal Yehudi kadasu kahalacha. And then she married a Jew properly. U'ba'alos ha'mishpacha artsam nirshim ha'ben b'tudat zehud al shem aviv chargo. When the son made aliyah, the family made aliyah, so on his tudat zehud, on his identity papers, he has as his father his mother's husband. U'mitzara din kasha l'chal davar. V'chenech shiru bezim b'chutz laris lavo bakal. Right, even though his father is not Jewish, but he's a kosher person. Achshav omin ha'ben b'perak ha'nisuin v'ashayla imefshad l'chto b'ksuba shim aviv chargo shal achatan v'lo shim imo v'bnei kavad abrios odilma chashinan l'mechsi k'shikra ochshashos acheros. So he goes through the psukim and he quotes, well, first of all, look at the Ramah. Which Ramah? The Ramah Choshe Mishpat. What's Ramah Choshe Mishpat going to help us? The end of Simin Mem Beis. The Ramah in Choshe Mishpat says, Mi shemegadol yasom betoch beso. Here it is, tucked away. Simin Mem Beis in Hilchas Halva. Somebody who's megadol yasom in his house. V'kasav alav b'shtar b'ni oha yasom kasav b'ni. And he writes on shtar that involves his son, my son. Oha yasom kasav alav megadlo avi. Or the yasom writes on his shtar, my father. O imi lo mikra mizuyath. That's not called false. V'kasher. Because he raised him, so it's right to call him that, says the Shevet HaLevi. You definitely have Yishmi HaMalismoch. Once you see that Ramah, and therefore, even though that's by Choshe Mishpat and by Shtaris, I think you could extend it even to the case of Ksuba, especially when nobody knows. K'she'en yadu aklal shem avosa v'nikra shmal shem balimo u'bazeh shem lavan u'nika l'chol ha'olam v'nikar hetev b'toch ha'get ki'agavna v'adayzeh. Even, he says, gamla niksivas ha'get, you might be able to have that, especially if it is not known. So you have it by an aliyah, you have it by a Ksuba. You have it in various areas, important comments. Okay, let's continue. Okay, there's a lot more by Yishliach Levaravera, obviously the sheet of the Rambam that we talk about usually in that sugya. The Rambam says there's one exception to the rule, Mi'ila. And that's a big problem because the Gemara in Kiddushin says there are three exceptions. So how could the Rambam say there's one? The Ksos and others get into that act. Let's continue. Third line. Mantana de Palagalei Rabbi Akiva. Who is the one that argues explicitly a Rabbi Akiva? In our Mishnah, there's no name given. But who argues explicitly a Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, who says if you could go back and ask the Mishaleach about it, that shows that it is in the same category. Who argues on that? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel hi. Titania. Hano de ben Abasar. Asar b'chol minei basar. If you know the Benabasar, all types of meat are off. Va'asar, Birosh, Uberaglayim, all the different parts of the meat, Ubekane, the trachea, Ubekaved, Ubelev, Ubeofos. Lashem b'nei Adam, meat includes birds, includes oaf. Even though obviously on a Daraisa level, it is not halachically called meat, right? Basar means beef, and the Rabbanon gave it the status in certain areas of halacha as beef. But Lashon B'nai Adam, as we saw last time, Lashon B'nai Adam, Lashon HaTorah is different. Dvash. Dvash in the Torah always means Dvash Tamarim. Dvash in Lashon B'nai Adam means Dvash Devorim. So here too, Oaf. Umutter v'basav v'dagim v'chagavim. But the Tanakhama says you're mutter in fish and grasshoppers, kosher grasshoppers. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hanodim and Abasar, also b'chol minei basar, umutter b'rosh u'b'raglayim u'b'kane u'b'kavid u'b'lev u'b'ofos. You're mutter in all these other items. Ve'etzarach lomar basar daga v'chagavim, and surely the fish and the grasshoppers. V'chein ha'ir Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer kirbayim la'basar. Also innards are not basar. V'ochleim avar inish, and if anybody eats them when they have a choice to eat regular meat, they're just not, understandable what they do. So you see, Reb Shimon Gamliel, even though you have all of these, if somebody says basar, they would come back to say, what about chicken? That's all I found. So says the Gemara, that Reb Shimon Gamliel is the bar plukta of Rabbi Akiva, right? He would say that is not included in that category. Let's continue the flow and then we'll make a comment. Says the Gemara, Ochlehen kibasar le'inyin zvini lav bar inish. What does that mean? If, this is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Shita, those who eat it like meat, when they could have gotten meat, and instead they eat the innards, so that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's line, that's lav bar inish, that's not normal. And then now we're going to extend that. Maishta basar ofla tadakama, da asar, da avish liach, da mimlachale. Why is it when it comes to chicken, the Tanakhama says that's included in the neder because the shliach would come back and ask about it. Basar dagam nami avit shlicha di ilo mishkach bisra mimlachalei. Right, the shliach would also do that by fish. Da amar ilo mishkach na bisra icy dagim velitzeru. Right, so why shouldn't they both be usher? What's the difference between fish and chicken? Both, if you can't find meat, you might come back and say, I only found this, I only found that. So here, there are two answers given by Abaya. Abaya is all over today's daf. Number one, Amar Abaye kagot shehik is dam to lo achol dog. And what's the case that chicken is not included? Fish is not included when somebody bloodlet. Had to have fish after bloodletting was not healthy. To lo achol dogim. See yachi afilu ofas nami lo achol. What about chicken? Chicken's also not healthy. To Amar Shmuel de misukar va'achol bisra de tzafra. If somebody bloodlets from the shoulders and then he eats meat of tzipor, of chicken, of a bird, let's say, parach libe ketzafra. So his heart's going to flutter, his heart's going to stop, meaning it's bad for the heart. Vitanya and ein mekiz and lola dog and lola ovas and lola basa malinach. And we said you shouldn't bloodlet and then eat any of these items. Vitanya, and also, hekiz dam lo yochal, after hakazas dam, you shouldn't eat lo chalav, lo gina, lo beitzim, milk and cheese and eggs, velo shechlayim, velo ofos, velo basar maliach. So, we're back to the question. How could the brisa be mechalek between fish and oaf? What's the difference? Ah, you wanted to talk about a case of bloodletting? So they're both bad. Shiny ofos, the afshay de shlika. Oaf is not bad, because there is a way that oaf would not be unhealthy or dangerous after bloodletting, that if you cook it. By fish, it doesn't matter. Even if you cook it, it's not going to help. But by oaf, it's going to help, and that's why that could be included in his nether. That is all number one. Number two, Abaya Amar Kigon Dekaivin Le Eine. He has eyes hurt. Dedugim Kasha Le Naim, because fish are kasha for the eyes. And that is why, for sure, he didn't mean to include that. The Rashi here says maybe it's only if he asked it only for the day. Because his eyes hurt now, and he's answering it for the day, but not if he is answering it for the future. Nira Lee says the Rashba the High Lishna Dadafka Gochanodam and Abbasal Oso Yom, Shal Hakaza, Bilvad. But if he was no there for Shmona Yamim, then Dagim for sure should be included, because, you know, his eyes or the bloodletting is only today and not in the future. But says Abaya, that's the case, where his eyes hurt, and that's why fish must not be included. Ihachi, but the Kagura says, 1 second, that's not true. Achil Dagim, he should eat the fish. Why? Fish is good for an eye ache. To Amar Shmuel, Nun Samach Ayin, right, the three letters of the Aleph Beis, what does that stand for? Nuna Sama Le'inayim. Nuna, fish, is Sama's medicine for the eyes. Shmuel, the great doctor, says Nun Samach Ayin, that's an illusion. Right, we know the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalid, the code. Like to say, that's the code, Kuf Dalid. The code of the Jewish alphabet, it goes through every single letter. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, Gimel Dalas, Gimel Dalim. Goes through every one of the Aleph. Why does the Gimel face the Dalim? Why does the Dalim face away from the Gimel? Every detail. But here we have another one. Nun Samach Ayin. So Nun Samach Leinayim. So does that CC? It's good. Answer: Ahu Sof Uchla. No. How at the end of the illness. At the end of an illness, after Avar Zman Meruba, says the Mefarish, Shechashesh Be'enav, so then Hasam, Sam Tov L'Kevinayim, and then it's good. But right at the beginning of the illness, it is not good. Okay, so that's what we're Mechalik. Lomaskana is clear, it seems like. Besides these Ukimtas, there's no difference between fish and oaf. Sounds like, right? There are two Ukimtas. Your eyes hurt, or it's bloodletting. But fundamentally, it sounds like they're either both included or both not included. That's why the Rambam Sheet is difficult in Perek Tes, in that halacha that I just read before. The Radvaz leaves the Petzarach Ian. He says, Oaf is included, and Dagam are not included. Dagam are not included, unless if there's Nimlach. But it sounds like Oaf is more included. That's the difficulty the Rambam has. Lemaisa, regarding Sudas Shabbos or Sudas Yantif, Simchas Yantif, so the post can discuss, what if somebody likes chicken more than meat? Right, ate simcha el babasar, so it's oaf included. So all the poskim say, if somebody enjoys chicken more, so then that's their simchas yantif. That's their simchas yantif, right? We don't have any carbon of shlamim nowadays, bizman hazeh. So that's why chicken, if somebody enjoys chicken more, that is their own simchas yantif. That's called basar. What about fish? So now, as we expand it, right, that gets into the more of the gray areas. But we're not going to get into that right now. I'm trying to mention one other shita and one other amazing thought that a number of the Achronim mentioned, B'shem the Chida. Sama Ayin, right? Nun Sama Ayin. So the Chida writes, you can look it up. The Chida writes online, you can Google it, and there are different lists. The Chida says there are 11 psukim in Tanakh that start with an Un and end with a Nun. 11 psukim start and end with a Nun. And the saying these psukim is a skula, says the Chida, to prevent ayin hara. Prevent ayin hara. Those 11 psukim that start with the nun and end with the nun. And you get that from, he says, nuna sama ayin. Nuna, nun, these psukim with nuns, samach ayin is sama, is a protection from a nayim, from ayin hara. That is what is quoted by the Chida. They're not common psukim. You got to look through them up. A couple from Mishlei, a couple from the one or two from the Torah. But the Nuna Sama Ayin says the Chida in his Sefer Dvash Lefi in Mareches Nun Os Lamed Aleph. The Chashuke Chemed quotes that Chida here also, and he discusses the following case. There was somebody who davened very early in the morning, even before sunrise. He davened after dawn, which is a bidyeved, right? L'chadchila, one should daven at sunrise, or the question is it better daven before or after? But l'maisa, it's not the best time to daven before sunrise, because he had to go to work. Got to go to work early. And then, amazingly, he won the lottery. Amazing. Millions and millions of shekel. but his wife, and he decided that because of Ayin Hara, they didn't want to tell anybody. They would have it, they would save it, but he would continue acting like he did, have his same job, have the same schedule. Is he still allowed to go to the early minyan and function like in that situation? So, and pretend that he is in that state, because he has to really go to work. So, he goes through how Ayin Hara is something Davar Kasha, and there are sources in the Gemara for Ayin Hara, but then he says, but maybe you should be able to do like the Chida, right? You have this protection. Nuna Sama Ayin, right? Say these 11 psukim. And in that way, you would be protected. So he goes through back and forth. So he says, Lamaisa, you can never be hurt by doing a mitzvah, Lechadchila. He says, but... And that's why I would say to him, tell him to start davening Vasikin. But then he quotes from the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash is Cholik, and he says, maybe it's not such a bidiyevit to daven before Vasikin, right? You could daven right by dawn. So, Lamaisa, he goes back and forth and discusses this. But I just wanted to bring out the Lamaisa, he's Mekel in the end. But then he says, my brother-in-law argues. He says, you should daven Nates. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is a very strong and Nates person. So he argues here with his brother-in-law. He thinks that he could daven, he could continue davening before the Nates. Okay, we'll stop here. And we will continue, Be'ez Hashem. The next one will be put up from the last cycle. And Be'ez Hashem, then we will continue.